So how are they going to find an answer for this man right here?
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Oh, no, he didn't.
With a little shake
no,
of his shoulder.
No, he didn't.
And hits the three.
No, he didn't. He just shook his shoulders.
Little shuffle.
What? Doing a little bank out bounce right there. Are you kidding me?
I had a lot of time and was kind of tired a little bit, so I got a little second to get a deep breath and knock it down.
I'm sick.
Ice Trey and the Hawks stealing game one. Has your outlook on the Eastern Conference Finals changed?
Stealing?
Chris Paul is back, ladies and gentlemen. What does that mean for game three of the Western Conference Finals? I hear he knows the Staples Center pretty well. And Steve Kerr says KD is more skilled than MJ. Is that BS or real talk? We'll talk about that. So quit horsing around and
yes,
lock in.
That's my guy.
Because
that's
the jump
guy
starts
that's
right now.
Guy. That's the stuff I would do.
Welcome into The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. Today I am joined in studio by 2016 champ Richard Jefferson, 2008 champ Kendrick Perkins. We are also joined remotely by 8-time All-Star, record 22 seasons played, future Hall of Famer Vince Carter. Our senior insider Adrian Wojnarowski is going to join us later. It's a packed show, people.
A lot going on.
But first, over in London, they do a special ceremony outside Buckingham Palace called the Changing of the Guard. To be honest, it's a bit overkill. It's not like we do some big whole fancy thing marking the moment the security card standing out front of Target gets off his shift. But whatever, it's
Danny
all good. Tourists in England love it. And hey, sometimes it is important to mark when a big change happens. Certainly, we are experiencing one right now in the NBA. After a decade of the finals, including either the Warriors or whatever team LeBron is playing for, we have four franchises left who have not been to the mountaintop in at least 50 years, if at all. And then there's the player side of things. For the first time in more than 70 years, according to Elias, half of the top 10 scorers in the playoffs are under 25. We've seen absolute magic from Devin Booker, Ja Morant, Donovan Mitchell, Luka Doncic, and of course, Trae Young, who took his show on the road last night and dazzled once again. It's worth noting that they aren't favored to win the Eastern Conference Finals, and yet you'd never know that watching the confidence that Trae plays with. Look at some of these shots. The Bucks kept daring Trae to shoot the mid-range, and so he kept taking him up on it.
Look at that. Like, that's a layup. That's a layup.
Then we get to the third quarter, and, well, let's listen to Marvin Reg for a minute here.
So how are they going to find an answer for this man right here?
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Oh, no, he didn't.
With a little shake
no,
of his shoulder.
Didn't. No, he
hits
didn't.
The three.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Yes, he did. The man just flat out shimmied in someone else's building. With the game far from won yet, but it did not matter when Trae is feeling it. He is feeling it. And as he noted later,
food.
He was feeling it plenty there. Take a listen.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of time. I had a lot of time and was kind of tired a little bit. So I got a little second to get a deep breath and knock it down.
I feel like we're thinking the same thing you guys are. It's like, wow, he just did that. It's like a lot of made that.
And I felt like no one, I felt, yeah, there was just, everybody was just so far out. I was like, wow, man, nobody's around? Like, was it that bad? Because, yeah, I was like, wow,
it's wide open.
Amazing. Later in the huddle, Giannis tried to fire his guys up by demonstrating how disrespectful Trae had been. And it seemed to work as the Bucks surged to a 7-point lead with less than 5 minutes on the clock. But Atlanta has been coming back from behind all playoffs. This time, the Hawks went on a 16-6 run to pull ahead. And after the Bucks missed 2 3-pointers in the final 30 seconds, Atlanta had its game one win. Here was Trae's stat line, by the way. 48 points, ooh, 7 rebounds, 11 assists. Now, look, it is absolutely possible Giannis and the Bucks will storm back in Game 2. They showed in the last series they have more heart than some give them credit for. Just like it's absolutely possible Paul George and the Clippers come back on Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and the rest of the young Suns tonight. But either way, it is clear that the new guard that has been storming through these NBA playoffs is here to stay. I'm not sure if Trae Young has one of those giant fuzzy hats, but I have no doubt if he wanted to, he could pull it off. He's pretty much been pulling off whatever else he wants to lately. And Vince, you know this Hawks team so well. Did that 48 from Trae Young change your outlook on whether the Hawks can actually win this series and become an NBA Finals team for the first time since the 50s?
It's changed my outlook for sure. And I'll tell you why. It's that they believe. They believe. It's like, okay, we're here. You know, I want to win, but let's see what happens. After the way the Bucks are playing defense, it changed my outlook because they believe. But here's the thing that I want to touch on. We watched him in game one versus the Knicks, game one versus the Sixers. He was facilitating, laying the land, see what's going on. They wouldn't allow him to have the free reign to just go down the lane and shake them haters off when he's shooting the three. But you see the difference in this series. They're letting him do whatever it is he wants. And the adjustment is going to be what? They can't stop him. Are you going to not play Brook Lopez? I don't know. But right now, they're proving they belong and they can play and they can compete in the NBA Finals. With that being said, what did Trae Young say? One down.
One down. He held up that one.
I'm about tired of Trae Young. I'm about tired of Trae Young.
Well, you're tired of him being fabulous?
I'm sick of this. No, because this is what.
You're tired of him winning?
No, yes, because I got to keep getting texts from people that kind of know basketball. They're like, is Trae Young really that good? Yes, he's that good. And somebody should tell the Milwaukee Bucks, right? Somebody should tell, like, you can't just sag off of him. And it's the same with Chris Paul. You're just going to give him that little floater.
Mid-range,
you're going to give him that mid-range shot. How many times? Look. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's shown you who they are. Bud, I love you. I had him in San Antonio. He's an Arizona guy. That is not going to work. A drop with Brook Lopez ain't going to work unless Brook Lopez is giving you 22 and 7 on the other end. Like, you got to play with more small. You got to give him more pressure. He's telling you who they are. What does he say? He's like, I had a lot of time, so I thought I'd shimmy on you. The level of disrespect that's showing your defense and showing your players, like, I'm sick of Trae. I'm tired of answering texts about how good he is.
Well, I mean, when it comes down to me, I've been screaming Trae Young for the longest.
I actually picked him
to beat Philly because he's a bona fide superstar. He's a four-level scorer. He gets the job done. Now, what happened was that the Milwaukee Bucks showed up in their Louis slippers, polo top, and linen shorts because it's in June. Instead of dressing warm.
But their balls wasn't hot. They wasn't knocking down shots.
You have to dress warm when you're playing against Ice Trae. You have to strap up your boots. And what ended up happening was that, listen, they took the Atlanta Hawks for granted. The Bucks, they win that semifinals against KD and the Brooklyn Nets, and they were like, you know what? This is what we got to get over. We get over this hump. It's cruise. It's easy sailing. And what happened was they got punched in the mouth. You know this, RJ. You know this, Rachel, from being around. You cannot disrespect the basketball guards.
Mm-hmm.
The Milwaukee Bucks played horrible basketball. They was playing carefree. They was turning the ball over. This was not the same defense that I saw against the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, I mean, I will say this. The Bucks were in it. Right? They were in it. They were leading by 7 with 4 minutes and 18
Our
seconds
bar
to go.
Is so low for some of these teams. In it, you're at home. You just beat the Brooklyn Nets. You got two-time MVP. And they're like, they're in it? No, in it ain't it. In it ain't it. Like, Trae Young is the best closer. Maybe him, Chris Paul, Devin Booker. They're the best closers left to go in this league. He's been closing all. Being in it ain't it if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, with all due respect.
All right, wait. Producer Steve, can you play that video, though, for me before I get to the next thing? Because this was one of my favorite moments, the pushing back and forth.
Hey, that's a
that is so RJ.
This reminds me of Richard Jefferson. Thank you, Vince. Thank you.
Because it's all fun, man. You're having fun out there.
Brooke was like, tag, you're it.
That was unbelievable.
What's going on?
I love the little moments that made me happy. That was the closest
anybody had been to Trae in weeks.
Oh, please.
No.
Let's talk about the Bucks side of things. It is the first time the entire postseason that they have dropped at a home game, right? So second straight series. They've lost game one, though, because they, of course, started on the road last series. Perk, you did pick Milwaukee before this series, dude. So do you still trust the Bucks?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Bucks. One thing about it, look, they will adjust. They will play better. At the end of the day, this is not the Bucks team that we saw against the Miami Heat or the Brooklyn Nets. They're going to come out back and respond. And look, one thing about it, We could talk about Trae Young, and rightfully so, but they still don't have an answer for Giannis.
Yeah.
Giannis got downhill whenever he wanted. He got to the paint. And Chris Middleton is not going to shoot that poorly. Go ahead, RJ. You point your finger. Go ahead. Do what you got to say.
I wasn't pointing.
Go ahead. Say what you got to say.
Well, listen, I apologize. I'll interpret for Perk for anybody that doesn't understand, like, Southern Texas accents. What he's saying,
he had Church's Chicken retweeting him today.
That's not a positive thing here.
People.
Have you said, look, like,
he speaks to people. Perk speaks to the people.
No,
that Church's Chicken is speaking to other parts of Perk, but we'll talk about that later.
Listen,
my thing about this is that the Bucks are the better team. They are the superior team. But part of the frustration in last year, the year before, is that the Bucks weren't playing up to their ability. So do I believe that the Bucks will ultimately win this series? If they do what they're supposed to, but that's not something that should be overly applauded. You're going against a team with no all-star, a 22-year-old player that is dominating the league. And you got all of this. When I say what does that mean, that means you have two all-stars, you have two MVPs, you have the former defensive player of the year. This is a team that you should dominate. I'm sorry. Like, that's what they should do. And they've never done that in the postseason. That's why no one ever truly believes on them. So even if they win this series and they beat Trae Young, is that something that we should, like, sit there and, like, be overly excited about?
What you mean?
RJ, though, you got to think about this real quick. As of right now, you got to think about this. Bucks are hungover, if you would. Hungover from their win. So, like you said, they walked in like, okay, now we just beat Brooklyn. Now we have the Hawks.
They beat a third of Brooklyn.
So you shouldn't
be overly excited if you barely beat a broken down Brooklyn team. You should keep that edge. That's what I'm trying to express.
It's like a third and a half a third.
I'll tell you one thing.
Two things. One, they swept the Miami Heat that outed them last year.
Like,
right. Okay, then on top of that, it's no other team in the Western Conference, in the Eastern Conference, in my opinion, that would have been able to withstand or beat the Brooklyn Nets the way that Kevin Durant was playing, except for the Milwaukee Bucks. And RJ, you and Vince are overreacting to one game, and y'all know, and you should know, especially you, from being a former champion, from being part of one of the greatest championships of all time, coming back from 3-1, that you never, it's a long series. So what? They came out.
Exactly.
They came out casual. They came out, they was cool, they was relaxed.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I have a high standard for teams that I believe are going to potentially win a championship. Because once they're up in the rafters as champions, then there's a standard that has been set or that you ultimately accomplish. And they've been cheating the basketball gods more times.
Well, and you have to give props to a team who does not have this experience. Milwaukee Bucks have this experience. They went out there and played. No, they played like they were the team that didn't have the experience, and the Hawks looked like they had more experience.
They
did what they're supposed to do.
Well, let me
gotta give them their credit.
Let me correct you, since you have a degree from North Carolina, and let me correct Mr. Arizona himself.
No, I don't think there's a degree there.
Listen, you don't have a degree, but listen, they came out with a sense of entitlement. That's what the Milwaukee Bucks did. They came out with a sense of entitlement.
But have they ever accomplished to do that?
And the Hawks
that
play
is
like
why.
They were not
we're
afraid.
Done. We're done. I'm done.
We're taking a quick timeout. I, by the way, have to apologize to the Hawks franchise. I said they haven't been in the finals since the 50s. I was wrong. It was 1961.
Don't apologize.
I was off by like a year and a half. By the way, they were in St. Louis when they won their last title, 1958. It's been a while. It's been 50 years for the Bucks. The Suns and the Clippers, of course, never got into the finals. This is very exciting. I'm all for the new blood.
Sometimes we make mistakes on our stats.
Tennessee's Keon Johnson posting a record 48-inch vertical leap at the draft combine.
I'm going to stay out of here.
Our resident leaper, are you impressed?
Yes. Yes. he gets a standing ovation, actually.
What was your best vertical? Do you know?
I don't know. I never finished.
Yeah, no. Vince was really good at dunking and playing basketball, not trying to have the best vertical leap.
Well, I bet he had a pretty good one, though.
That was dope. I got no dispute on that. I think he would be great for some sport in the Olympics.
Do you know what they asked that young man to do? Jump. So you know what he did?
He jumped. Yeah,
and
that's what I'm saying.
He jumped 48 inches. That's impressive. Ever.
Jump, do a little Flosberry
flop. I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah, yeah.
You dunked a lot, Burke, though, so you've got some vertical there.
Burke would be there, too, and yeah.
I want to move on to USA basketball. The roster taking shape, led by Kevin Durant. It will also include, this is Team USA, Dame Lillard, Draymond Green, Brad Beal, Bam Adebayo, Jason Tatum. James Harden did withdraw because of his hamstring injury. He will not be able to make it. Richard, is this a gold medal roster in your eyes?
Yes, because they have the shooting. The one time we didn't win the Olympics,
Were you there? Were you there?
Yes,
I can't remember.
I was a participant to make sure that the next 20 years were successful. We didn't have enough shooting. The starting lineup is...
You took one for the team?
I took one for the team. Thanks for not showing up, Vince.
Remember when you backed out, Vince? That's
hey,
what we're calling
Remember when you backed out, Vince? Why'd you back out, Vince?
Come on, man. Cut it out.
Yeah. Oh, now I want to cut it out. Okay, everybody wants
Vince
to cut it out.
Vince has plenty of Olympic highlights.
He was supposed to be an 04. He backed out. Him and Kobe and J-Kid and Bibby.
They thought they could depend on you.
That was dumb. I was wrong.
Rachel, don't let RJ blame Vince for his lack of productivity.
No.
Okay,
no.
You just didn't produce.
It took, like, productivity is not a nine-syllable word.
Yeah, whatever. It
is. It takes you 10 seconds to get out.
I mean, whatever.
Vince, the starting lineup, if we want to look at that list again, KD obviously going to be on it, right? So who else would you see filling out the rest of that starting five? And please say Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard, Devin Booker, KD, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I like Draymond as my five man, and then get me Jason Tatum. And if you're feeling kind of froggy, you can also use Bradley Beal. But I'd say Jason Tatum at the three.
All right.
Well, that's wrong, but...
Why, you want to swap in the other St. Louis guy for the other St. Louis guy?
No, it's Damian Lillard, it's Devin Booker, it's Kevin Durant, it's Jason Tatum, it's Bam Adebayo.
Oh, you want Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, you could now, because Bam can stretch the floor, but he also can defend multiple positions. I love Draymond Green, but we saw last Olympics or World Championship, Draymond wasn't that much a part of the rotation because you still need to have some scoring threats. It's not just a straight facilitator. Bam can score and facilitate.
Well, you could tell the two guys that didn't play defense in the league because you got to have some type of defensive identity. And so if you start Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker, you have enough offensive firepower in those three guys. So you need to have Bam at the five, and you need to start Draymond at the four. Oh. Because one thing Draymond is good is initiating the offense. And so at the end of the day, he can anchor that defense. He can anchor that defense along with Bam out of the bayou, and I think that's a perfect fit.
Bayou?
Yeah, that's how I've been calling his name.
I knew he was going to say that.
Rachel, tell him it's never going to change, okay? I am who I am, Richard.
I will say this, Kendrick. It's the Olympics. They're probably not going to need much defense for the early, like, first round robin situation. But when they get up there.
Don't do that.
I'm going with the facts off of past experience.
Is Luka Doncic playing?
And then, well,
somebody got to guard that man.
Well, that is true. I will just say that as it gets tighter, look at that and the hair and everything. And, of course, we remember this one.
As a charge.
Yes. I'm just saying that as you go up through the quarterfinals and semis and finals, obviously, that's where the defense comes in.
Yeah, all three of those guys are supposed to be on the Olympic team. I was, you know.
There we go. Vince, I will leave that with you, that photo of you over poor Frederick.
I Amazoned you some AirPods, Vince. They'll be arriving any day.
Hey, they was calling you radio before.
Vince, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you very soon.
I know.
Yeah, we'll see you
nice
soon,
shirt
Vince.
You got on, RJ.
Thank you, man. I love those double hearing aids you have.
Coming
Not
up,
that old, Vince.
We're going to get to the Western Conference Finals. CP3 coming back for game three. At some point, I just got to cut you off. How can the Clippers stay together, come back from that 2-0 deficit, and also coming up, Rick Carlisle has found a home back with the Pacers. Woj is going to join us to discuss that and Carlisle's endorsement of the next coach for Dallas. This got interesting quick. Stick around. This is The Jump. Let's take a look at today's magic moment brought to you by Walt Disney World Resort. It was the go-ahead bucket in game two of the West Finals. Jay Crowder inbounding DeAndre Ayton. Matt Weiner from NBA TV dubbing it the Valley Oop, which immediately got the stamp of approval from the team itself that gave the Suns a 2-0 lead in the series as it moves to Los Angeles
tonight. And Paul George is asking for goaltending.
Welcome back to the gym. I mean, honestly, DeAndre Ayton said that he didn't know the rule on that. So a lot of players on the floor did not know the rule.
DeAndre Ayton's been playing for 12 minutes. Yeah. He's been playing basketball.
I am just saying that the guy who scored the bucket said that he was worried about goaltending as well.
Paul George asking for goaltending, he should have been worried about knocking down those free throws.
Well, look, he has played.
He has
played fantastic for a while now, and that was an unfortunate moment, and we've seen that before. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined by Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins, our senior insider. Adrian Wojnarowski is going to join us in just a moment to talk coaches, but I do want to get to that Suns-Clippers game first. Chris Paul is available for the game tonight. Well, he is planning on playing after missing the first two games, of course, to those health and safety protocols. Kawhi Leonard still listed as out for this game. Ty Lue has said he just has to plan as if Kawhi will not be with them the whole series. Perk, the Clippers have come back from down 2-0 twice already in this postseason. No team has ever done that before. How can they do it again?
They can. They can. Not against this Phoenix Suns team. And Chris Paul coming back. And here's the reason why, right? We all know that Ty Lue is one of the best, if not the best, in the game today for his coaches and making adjustments. But guess what? He has another coaching staff over there that's ready to play chess as well. But they don't have an answer. Look, we already know that Devin Booker and Cameron Payne has been in their bag like they got fries at the bottom, okay? But DeAndre Ayton is the X factor. And I don't know how can they neutralize him. They haven't played against a bag like him, against a guy like him in the playoffs, right? You have Jokic, but Jokic is not athletic. Jokic can't sprint the floor. Jokic is not a lob threat. And the way that DeAndre Ayton has been anchoring the defense, I just don't know. He's averaging 22 and 11 and shooting almost 100% from the field.
Yeah, 100% from the field is a tough one to overcome. I agree with you, Perk. Look, there is – the problem is that they weren't far off. The Clippers were not far off from winning this game.
No, they were in both of those games.
Yeah, they were mistakes away from winning this game, which obviously in the postseason comes back to haunt you. But I just think that the Clippers, obviously game three is going to be very, very important. It's all about a chess match. But you can't do chess matches on missed free throws. You can't do chess matches on missed assignments. They put them in the position. Paul George played great. For 47 minutes of that game, he played outstanding. But to be a true closer where you got your Nike shoe, you got all the love, you are all everything, that is the moment to close. Now, I'm not going to fault you, but game three, there's going to be a lot of eyes.
I think, look, people have missed free throws in the history of big pressure finals games. I'm not ready to single Paul George out for those two missed free throws as a crime against humanity.
Yeah, I mean, for Clipper humanity, it is. When you're shorthanded, you have a chance to win, and it's like you have a chance to knock down these free throws and put your chance in a position where imagine even having 2 or 3 points on that board, becoming that defense becomes exponentially easier for you. So you put your best players in a position to succeed, and if they don't, they get all the credit and all the blame. We've played with enough guys that lived in that world.
Rachel, RJ, I got a question for you guys, right?
Save your questions till the end.
Going into this series, without Chris Paul, the first two games, everyone, including myself, was saying, you know what? I think that the Clippers should get one on the road, if not two, especially without CP3. CP3 comes back tonight. You know what that does for that locker room of young guys? You know what type of mission CP3 is going to be on tonight? He makes a total difference.
I'm excited.
If you're the Clippers, if you couldn't beat this young team without Chris Paul, how am I expecting you to beat them with Chris Paul?
Well, here's what's tough, right? To RJ's point, Ty Lue has come back from these 0-2 deficits twice, and we're going to talk about this a little more later in the show with all of the adjustments he's made, right? He has proven once again why he is an elite X and O coach. That being said, they didn't lose because of an adjustment issue because the adjustment wasn't made. They lost because of free throws that didn't go in and then, frankly, some missed defensive assignments in that last play there. When you go break down that last play, there are some things where guys were not where they were supposed to be and doing what they were supposed to be doing. I don't know how you fix that. And you're right, Perk, the idea that they couldn't at least try to steal one with Chris Paul not there. It's going to get harder with Chris Paul there. So it will be interesting to see what they come back with. But this is a team that has proven to us over and over, the Clippers, this postseason. You cannot count them out just because they are down by a couple games. You just can't. So there you go. I want to get to the coaching carousel because it continues to spin, baby. We're still working on getting Teresa Witherspoon on this coaching carousel. I'm going to have a little chat with our graphics department on that one. But yesterday, the Celtics agreed to hire Nets assistant Ime Udoka as their next coach. Prior to his role as an assistant for Steve Nash this season, Udoka spent one season with the Sixers, 7 years under Greg Popovich with the Spurs. Then today, Rick Carlisle told our Tim McMahon he has agreed to a four-year deal to become the next coach of the Indiana Pacers. The deal worth $29 million plus incentive, sources said. That leaves five head coach vacancies at the moment. And now joining us to discuss all matters of coaching vacancies, our senior insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. So glad to actually have you in the building, my friend. This is lovely after a year and a half. What can you tell us about the hires both in Boston and in Indiana?
Well, Ime Udoka, I think the relationships and the kind of players he had coached in San Antonio, you know, Kawhi Leonard certainly on the back end of it, Philadelphia, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and then in Brooklyn with the group they had this year. Experience, not just coaching elite players, but building relationships with them. He's going to have to do that in Boston, certainly with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. He's got two All-Stars under 25 years old. And, you know, I think Brad Stevens really liked the varied experiences he's had. Three different organizations, obviously played in the league. But I think for that process, Boston was really a job that I think everybody who was in the candidate market looked at that Boston job and saw, you know, were really excited about it, especially because of the great young talent they had there. But Udoka separated himself early in that process, and he was certainly a popular choice among their key players who had played under him with Team USA, with Greg Popovich in the Worlds in 2019. Three of their returning players, you know, all had a lot of great things to say about him.
What do you think, former Boston Celtic, of the hire?
You know what? I actually love it.
What?
To be honest. Yeah, I actually love it. And here's why, right? When you look at Udoka and you look at what all he has done with his playing career, playing with Hall of Famers like Tim Duncan, and then going into his coaching career, being coached, being the assistant of one of the greatest of all time, and Greg Popovich. So my thing is, it's all about managing egos, right? And you have two young rising superstars in my eyes, and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, that's your focal point. And you got to bring a guy in there that they can relate to. And I feel like that's a perfect fit to me because he's a guy that's going to go in there. He's going to be able to hold them accountable. They have to respect him because he's been around greats. He's coached greats. He's played with greats. There's nothing you could tell them.
What I like about this is when you bring in coaches that have learned how to build relationships with great players, but for them themselves, they are more role players. It allows them to connect with the guys. Like, these are the sacrifices that I'm asking of you because they've been asked of me before. You look at Tyronn Lue. He's been on that side, played with great players, but was also a role player. Monty Williams played with great players, but was also a role player. Because as much as it is reaching your stars, we saw that with the Clippers last year. They were like, well, you know, the role players versus the star treatment. And a lot of that back and forth, you got to be able to connect not just with the star players, and he has that ability, but also to connect with the rest of the team, making sure they're understanding why you sacrifice.
It's going to be really fascinating to see everything that happens with that Celtics team, right? First time for Brad Stevens in the front office. I do want to get to Indiana, though.
Right.
I asked producer Steve today for some video of young Rick Carlisle in his first stint as head coach of the Pacers, but the hair was different, all of that stuff. I don't know if we'll see that in a minute. But there we go. Look at that. Young Rick.
Nice little coif right there.
Right? So nice.
That's what happens with coaching in the NBA, do to you.
They will, you will, yes. How did Rick end up back where he once began, as you say?
Yeah, this was, I talked to Kevin Pritchard, their president today, and just knowing that day one, Rick Carlisle commands respect in that organization, and it brings respect back to the head coaching position because they lost it this year with Nate Bjorkman, after they let go of Nate McMillan the year before. And I think for Indiana, you know, a roster that is a good roster. Is this a championship roster? No. But is this a roster that you can see winning around in Eastern Conference playoffs with the right coach? Yes. And I think, you know, Kevin Pritchard, you know, he still leans on Larry Bird and Donnie Walsh and those guys who were there in the front office prior to him and still kind of serve as consultants. They were all for this. And Herb Simon, their owner, who had Rick in there previously. And I think especially, and then it's $7 million a year. I think $7 million plus, as Tim McMahon reported. I think it's Indiana's message that we're serious. We are trying to win. And listen, Rick Carlisle is probably, you know, a good chance he might be a Hall of Fame coach someday. He's won a championship. you know, there weren't really any coaches out in the marketplace with that pedigree. And when Rick wanted to come back, mm-hmm. you know, they worked here in the last few days to get this done.
Now, Rick, at the end of that interview with Tim McMahon, said that he hopes Jason Kidd gets the Dallas job that he just vacated. I know that Portland is also a hot coaching spot. What do you think of where Portland, where they may end up in their coaching search, and what's going to happen in Dallas as well?
Well, Mark Cuban says he's going to hire president, general manager first, and then do a coaching search. I'm not sure they're going to take Rick Carlisle's advice on who the next coach is there. I think they might like to talk to Luka Doncic, see how he feels, right. certainly internally, about Jamal Mosley, who's going to be a candidate for this job. Portland, they've done second interviews now with Chauncey Billups, Mike D'Antoni, Becky Hammon on Monday. Mm-hmm. And so I think more so than the other job openings, I think Portland's probably closer to getting to a potential decision. But I think certainly Mike D'Antoni, Chauncey Billups figure prominently in that search, and Becky Hammon.
This, by the way, is an amazing graphic because it's like player, star, star, star for
the
Magic.
Two first-round picks.
Two picks. That's what they've got going on, absolutely. Well, I'm going to keep campaigning for Teresa Witherspoon for the New Orleans job. I will be happy to be on my own island there, but I don't think I am. Woj, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll see you throughout the rest of the Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals as well. All right, guys, coming up, Steve Kerr says Kevin Durant is, quote, more gifted than Michael Jordan, which is saying something since Kerr played with Michael Jordan. Is that BS or real talk? We will discuss that next, among other things, on The Jump. Stick with us. All right, it's time for our longest running show within a show here at The Jump. Oh, yes. As the Kings turn. In today's episode, Marvin Bagley III is drawing attention for liking a tweet saying they need to get Bagley out of Sacramento.
These kids.
Richard, remember, Bagley's father also said Bagley needed to be traded earlier this season. What do you make of that?
Perk, I got this one. Hey, look, Bagley, I love you. You're a Phoenix kid. I've known you since day one. They didn't hurt your hand. They didn't make you pull out of USA Basketball.
Preach.
They didn't hurt your foot.
Preach.
All of this stuff. And
Preach.
The Sacramento Kings will look out for you more than any franchise
Preach.
You go.
Preach.
Another place, they are invested in your success. Don't
Preach.
Forget that, young fella,
Preach.
Before you ask for other places.
The ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
I think it's bull.
I just thought it was bull.
Don't give me that crap.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined by Kendrick Perkins, Richard Jefferson. We're all in the same room together. It's lovely. Friends, are you ready to play BS or Real Talk? We give you the quotes. You give us emojis. The Nets have been eliminated, but we are still talking about the heroics of Kevin Durant in their seven-game series with the Bucks. Durant's former coach, Steve Kerr, is also talking about KD, comparing him to maybe the greatest ever. Listen to this.
He's the most talented basketball player on earth. If not of all time, honestly. He's just so gifted.
Played with Michael Jordan. And
I know.
KD is,
I know.
Is right
I think
there.
He's more gifted. I really do. I mean, that's saying something, but Kevin is a different, entirely different breed. I mean, 6'11", with guard skills, unlimited three-point range, passing, shot blocking at the rim. It's just stunning. And watching him this year was really, really gratifying to see.
So Steve says KD more gifted than MJ. And I thought to me, guys, that was the key, that he didn't say he was a better player. He said more gifted. RJ, I see that you agree.
Yeah, I guarded both of them. And let me express this. Like, the footwork, the skill level, the talent, like, there was a work ethic that came with Michael Jordan that Kobe Bryant emulated. He just tried to take everything. You can't take everything from Kevin Durant, because unless you have the skill set, unless you're 7 foot and can dribble like a two guard and shoot like a two guard, there is no comparison to him. He is a one of one.
Well, I think what Steve Kerr really wanted to say was that he's a better scorer than MJ, and it's right. KD is the best scorer of all time. The man has zero flaws in his game. He's efficient. It's nothing that he can't do. And for the first time, I agree with RJ.
And we ain't saying that he's better than MJ, you jerks. Don't start adding me. Don't start tagging me. I'm not saying he's better than MJ. just more gifted. He's the most gifted we've seen as a basketball player.
Yeah, I thought that Steve's assessment was razor accurate. All right, Daryl Morey and the Sixers in store for an eventful offseason after blowing out of the playoffs again this season. Most of the discussion, of course, centering around the future of Ben Simmons. Woj, who was just here with us, reported today teams are using the Chicago pre-draft camp to gauge the Sixers' interest in dealing Simmons. Here is Morey's take.
A lot of what I'm reading, I frankly don't understand. You know, people saying the Sixers are in a bad situation. You know, I don't choose to come here. Doc doesn't choose to come here if this is a bad situation. I mean, really 25 or 26 teams in this league would love to be in our situation with an MVP caliber, top player, an all-star, a near all-star, great young players who are signed for the long term. Good veterans. So we've got a good foundation. We just have to do better. I have to do better. Everyone has to do better.
Kirk, are the Sixers in that enviable a situation that 25 or 26 teams would like to be in? Do you agree with Daryl? BS or real talk?
BS, and here's why. This is Daryl Morey know what he's doing, right? We talk about playing chess. All he's doing is making sure he keep the value of Ben Simmons up so that he could trade him. We know that he has been one of the most aggressive, if not aggressive, GMs in the league for his trading pieces. And we know one thing that Daryl Morey values is shooting. Okay, so with Ben Simmons not being able to shoot and put him around MB, I get what he's saying right there. I don't believe him. I just think it's a hidden agenda behind it.
Perk's going to tell you everything but what you need to know, right? And what you need to know is this.
The he man said is 20- sitting right here. You don't have to say that about him.
Oh, no, I forgot no, you were there. My
no,
bad.
No, it's
hey, what's up,
fine.
Perk? Look, 25 to 26 teams would love to be in this situation. He just listed all the reasons why they are in a good situation. Do they need things that they need to address? 1,000%, and that starts with Ben Simmons. Like, Ben Simmons, with all due respect, is just not the guy that's going to help lead this team to a championship. But that's why it's 100% what Daryl Morey said. Most teams would love to be in that position that they are in.
Yeah, to trade Ben Simmons.
Well, whatever.
I just said it. You repeat.
Again.
But you just said, you said it was BS.
It's Rachel's turn.
Gonna be an eventful offseason for sure. Coming up, we're gonna talk more about tonight's game. Clippers have dug themselves another 0-2 hole in these playoffs. We'll discuss whether Perk and Richard believe the Clippers can win tonight at home or whether they agree on anything. We'll find out in the next segment. Stay tuned.
Didn't we already talk about that?
It's a big game. In game three of the Western Conference Finals, that is tonight here in Los Angeles, right across the street. And hey, the Clippers are used to being down 2-0 in the postseason. Perk, do you believe in the Clippers at home tonight?
Ooh, no, I don't. And I know I'm probably going to get a text from Ty Lue saying
I can't believe you're going against your guy.
Whatever, it's cool. But you know why? Here's the reason. We talk about Ty Lue and his adjustments, and rightfully so. But CP3, we got to remember, the Clippers and CP3 ended on bad terms. He's coming back in game three. He's going to have it on his mind to will his team to victory. I see the Phoenix Suns having the upper hand in this series right now, and I think they win game three tonight.
There's three things that I believe. One, the person that made Perk get a seatbelt extender on the plane is rude. That is rude. He does not need a seatbelt extender. Maybe a second seat, but a seatbelt extender is rude. Two, I believe that the Clippers will win this game tonight, but I do believe that the Phoenix Suns will win the series.
What's the third thing?
That was it. The Phoenix Suns will win the third thing.
Oh, I see. The Clippers will win tonight.
And then the first thing is that whoever made Perk get that seatbelt extender for Southwest, that is
Do you have any other beliefs we should know about? Teeth brushing?
No, but that if Perk was going to keep getting retweeted by Church's Chicken, he's going to have to buy three seats. So please stop doing that. Do not send Perk food. Do not feed the animals.
So seriously. What do you guys know about CP, though, seriously? And he hasn't played basketball in 11 days. Do you think there's going to be a little feeling out in the first quarter?
I don't doubt it.
I don't know.
No, you don't think so? Nothing.
I think Devin Booker has been dominating
Chris
the first
Paul
quarter.
Chris Paul. Thanks for watching The Jump. We'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight.